in a bubble. All right, I'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Gimel. It's Kuf Gimel. We are picking up on Kuf Beis and with Beis. A lot to do today. So remember, again, the Gemara says we left off with Anpilya. Anpilya. So this is 13 lines up from the bottom. So remember, the Mishnah said, "Banpilya chalitza sapsula." If she does literally chalitza with a sack, so the chalitza is psula. To which the Gemara says, "Lememra, danpilya lav minalhu." Are you telling me then that anpilya, a sack, is not considered to be a shoe? Utsinamba, and we learned, utsinanami, ein ha'ein hatorim nichnas lo bepargod chafus velo ba'anpilya. Ve'ein sarach lomar b'minal v'sandal. L'fishe nichnas b'minal v'sandal azara. So we'll say a little bit of a review from the past. This is from Masechta Shkalim. So there we learned in the Gemara that when the Gabbai Tzedakah walks in to the Lishka, to the chamber where they used to keep the half shkalim, so he can't go in with a garment that has a hem on the bottom or with socks. Why not? Because you can't go in with anything with which you could potentially put in money and walk out with money. Not that we're choshesh, that the Gabbai Tzedakah is going to take anything, but you want people to be above suspicion. So furthermore, it says you can't walk in with a shoe or with a sandal. Why? Because you can't walk in with a shoe and a sandal into the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see over here that Anpilya is mentioned separately than sandal and minal, which tells you that what? That it's not a shoe. Okay. Or minu. So the Gemara is Rabbi says, obviously, if it's not a shoe, then it can't be used for chalitza purposes. Or minu, the Gemara raises the kasha. Echad minal v'sandal v'anpilya lo yitayil bohen lo mibayis labayis lo mita lamita. Yet we learned that whether it's a minal or a sandal or an anpilya, so let's remember again, minal is our soft leather shoe. Sandal is a hard leather shoe. Right, or also actually a sandal, and Anpilya is the sock. So the Mishnah, so the Braisa says over here that you shouldn't wear a minala sandal on Anpilya, or this is talking about on Yom Kippur, and you shouldn't wear it to walk from one house to the other, or from one bed to the other. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Anpilya is a shoe. So Amar Abaye, no, the Isbek Sisi. The difference over there is in that case, the Anpilya has like some rags inside of it, right? Some literally kasisi. Means pieces of material that are inside of the sacrashes chatichos dachos shalmochin v'orach mishum tanok v'la mishum tevin ila. So it's there. You have cotton in there. You have material in there that makes the sack exceptionally comfortable, and that's why you can't wear it on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, one second. Mishum tanok. So mishum tanok. Amalei Rava mishum tanok below minal b'yom kippur mi'asiri. So I don't understand. Are you telling me then that in Yom Kippur you can't do anything that's going to give you comfort? So what Gemara is suggesting over here is that it's not that Anpilya is a shoe. Anpilya is not a shoe, but because this type of Anpilya with this material insert is very comfortable, therefore you can't go to wearing Yom Kippur. So you're telling me then that you can't wear something on your feet that's comfortable on Yom Kippur? V'ha Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Karich Sudra Akarei V'nafik, yet Rabba Rav Huna on Yom Kippur used to wrap rags around his feet, and he would go out. And I both say the assumption that Gemara is making is that was exceptionally comfortable. And Abbas, you should just know, this happens to be very interesting because this is a big discussion, contemporarily especially, where a person could have like the most comfortable, you know, man-made material shoes. So the shayla is, you know, on Yom Kippur, there's a din of inui, there's a din of affliction. So the din of affliction seems to indicate that a person should not wear something that is as comfortable as their regular shoes. So a person doesn't have to be in an active state of discomfort, but sometimes you see Baruch Hashem, we live in a different age where no person walks in at, my shoes are, they're not leather, but they're very comfortable, they're very good, running shoes. So it would appear to be that on Yom Kippur, one should wear something that has some element of inui, some element of affliction. A person doesn't necessarily have to be in an active state of discomfort, but the idea of not wearing leather shoes is to downgrade one's level of comfort. So the Gemara says, all right, it's a different discussion. Ela Amar Rava lo kasha. So we'll say, so now we have a contradiction, because we have one brisa that tells us that Anpilya is a shoe, and one brisa says Anpilya is not a shoe. So what? Which one is it? To which the Gemara answers, Kan Manpilya shall ar, Kan Manpilya shall beg it. Oh, when the brisa says that the Anpilya is treated like a shoe, that's a leather Anpilya. So a leather sock, a leather Anpilya almost has a shoe-like status, and therefore one would not wear it on Yom Kippur. However, again, the other brace that indicates that an Anpilya is not like a shoe, that's talking about an Anpilya made of material. Hachnai mistabro, this seems to be clear. Because if you don't say this, the truth is we have a contradiction between two halachos of Yom Kippur. What does it say? This anyo, lo yitayo adam bikur dikisin besoch beso, avam tayo hu ba'anpilin besoch beso. A person should not wear kur dikisin. It was like kur dikisin was a thin shoe, like a thin shoe insert that people would often wear inside their shoes. Now, why would a person do this? So apparently, this thin shoe insert was waterproof. So shoes were often not waterproof. So a person wanted to protect their foot from the elements, they would put the cord de kisin on, and then they would put the shoe on top of that. So you can't wear that on Yom Kippur. However, you can wear your anpilin within your house. And I was saying, I have a contradiction, because you just had a brisa that said before you can't wear anpilin on Yom Kippur. Here it says you can wear your anpilin on Yom Kippur. So how do you reconcile it? Alav shmamina, kan banpilya shal ar, kan banpilya shal beged shmamina. So we see from here that what? Everything depends on what the Anpilya is made of. If you have a leather Anpilya, that cannot be worn on Yom Kippur, but the material Anpilya can. Tanya Kavase de Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava. Chaltza b'min al hanifram shechofa esrof haregel, or b'sandal hanifchas shemekabel esrof haregel. So we'll say if a woman does chalitza, or a man and woman do chalitza, with a min al hanifram that is torn, but still covers the majority of the foot, or with a sandal that is broken, but you could still fit the majority of the foot inside of it, or b'sandal shal sham v'shal siv, or I will say this is with a sandal. Literally, sham is like reeds. Reeds or sieve is bast, right? From the part of the palm tree. Or bekav hakitea. This is actually interesting. Bekav hakitea means with an amputee's shoe. I don't know, I will say now, what does it mean, an amputee's shoe? So if the amputee has a prosthetic, right? A prosthetic. So what happens? So there would be a shoe that would fit on the end of the prosthetic. That's kav hakitea. Or bemuk. Muk is a felt shoe. Or b'smichas haraglayim. So we'll say this is actually interesting. B'smichas haraglayim. I don't know what you call this. This is talking about someone who, let's say, again, I guess the person was paralyzed. Person was paralyzed, so they would have this thing. So they couldn't walk at all on their feet. So they would have this contraption. I don't know if there's a name for it, but essentially you would move around with your hands. So you'd have like your legs on a dolly. Like you'd have your legs up on something else that had wheels on it, and you would wheel yourself around. That's called smichas haraglayim. If you look at Rashi, he says, Misha mahalich biyadav v'gorer es raglav. He drags his legs behind him. Osun lahem smicha shal eitz. You don't want your legs to drag against the ground. So you'd create for it like some type of wooden base. Oshal or umachnes lesocho. You'd put your feet or you'd put your legs into it. And again, I will say, so essentially, it's like having your feet up on the dolly, and you would go ahead and you would roll around is the wrong word, but you'd move yourself around, you know, with your hands like that. I'm sorry? Propel. Thank you. Right, so the Gemara says the following. B'smichas raglayim, ba'an pilyo shalor, or with a leather sack. So we'll say in all of these cases, v'choletzes min hagadol, or you did chalitza with v'choletzes min hagadol, tap of kuf gimel. Bein omeid, bein yoshev, bein mota, right? And you go out and you do chalitza, whether he's sitting, whether he's standing, whether he's sitting, whether he's leaning. V'choletzes min asuma, or a person goes ahead and does chalitza with a man who is blind. All of these cases, chalitza sekshera. So also we'll see that when it says chalitza sekshera, what it means is bidyeved. So bidyeved, all of these cases, technically, again, the chalitza is kshera. Aval, b'min al hanifram, she'in chopes rov regel. But I will say, if you do chalitza with the shoe that is torn, that does not cover the majority of the foot, or b'sandal hanifchas, with a broken sandal, she'in makabos rov regel, that does not cover the majority of the foot, or b'smichas hayadayim. So I'll say, or instead of using, so remember, smichas haraglayim means you're using like the leather covering for your legs, that when it's on the dali, Or for that, basmichas haidai means if a person would propel themselves like this, so they'd have special gloves. Because obviously, if you're doing this against the ground, you don't want your hands to get cut. So you had special gloves. Or ba'anpilya shel baget, or you use a material sack. Or choletzes mina katan, or you did chalitza with a katan. Chalitza sapsula, your chalitza is pasul. Now, why do we bring that entire discussion? We brought that entire discussion because here, the Brice explicitly makes a distinction between a leather sack and a material sock, teaching us what? That a leather sock has the status of a shoe, which now we've already seen by Yom Kippur. That's why in Yom Kippur you can't wear the leather sock, but yet a material sock has the status of a sock, right? It's a sock, right? So again, therefore, the Maisa, again, the material sock can ultimately be used. The material sock, cannot be used for chalitza, but the leather sock can because it has the status of a shoe. Fine. So now, Bosse, now the Gemara is going to go back and dissect the Brice we just spoke about a little bit. Kavakitia. So one of the things that the Mishnah said, that the Brice said, is that you can do chalitza with the amputee's shoe. So again, remember, that is the shoe, that essentially would fit over the prosthetic. So you could go and you could do chalitza with this. Money. Who's the pain does this reflect? Rabbi Meir, this time. Hakitea yotze bekav shel Rabbi Meir. Also listen to this. Rabbi Meir paskins that on Shabbos, the amputee can go out with the shoe that is on his prosthetic and that is not considered carrying. Why isn't it considered carrying? Because Rabbi Meir holds that shoe has the status mamish of a real shoe. Rabbi Yossi says that it is usher, because apparently Rabbi Yossi holds that the prosthetic shoe does not have the status of a real shoe. Ba'anpilya shel beged. So now let's analyze this. So anpilya shel beged asa'an l'rabbanan. So remember, in the case of a material sock, that we go according to the Rabbanon. Because remember, again, the Rabbanon hold that a material sock does not have the status of a shoe, but has the status of a sock. Therefore, you can't do chalitza with it. Now watch this. Amar Abaye. So also, we're trying to figure out whose opinion the Braisa reflects. So Amar Abaye, made the Sefer Rabbanon, from the fact that the Sefer, the end of the Braisa, is the Rabbanon, and that's why, again, that means that you can't use the material sock for chalitza. Reishanami Rabbanon. The Reisha must also be the Rabbanon. The Reisha b'mechupa or, right? So we have to say that what? That the Reisha is talking about a case where the amputee's shoe is covered in leather. So meaning it is still has the set, because we will say very often what would happen is the amputee's shoe would be made from wood. It would not be a leather shoe, right? Because remember, again, we'll say, why do you need a leather shoe? A person normally needs a leather shoe because leather will ultimately contour to the dimensions of the foot. But the amputee does not need a leather shoe because that shoe is going on the bottom of the prosthetic. So therefore, again, how can you use a wooden shoe for a chalitza? To which the Gemara answers that according to the Rabbanan, you'll have to say that the case of the amputee shoe that is fit for a chalitza is a case ultimately, again, where the shoe is covered with leather. Amrli Rava. Aval in mechupa armai, but if the amputee's shoe is not covered with leather, then what is the halacha? To which the Gemara would answer, Apostle, you'd have to say that the shoe would not be fit for chalitza. Ihachi, if that's the case, adatani seifa ban pilya shel beged, instead of the seifa of the braisa making a distinction between a leather sock and a material sock, lifnog bididei, why don't you make a distinction in the case of the amputee shoe? B'medar morim, when can you use the amputee shoe for chalitza? B'mechupa ar, that's only if it's covered in leather. Aval in mechupa ar, but if it's not covered in leather, pasul, then you may not go ahead and use it for chalitza purposes. Ela amar Rava, but rather Rava says, midireish Rabbi Meir, seifin Rabbi Meir, from the fact that the reish is Rabbi Meir, must remember, how is reish Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir is the opinion who holds that an amputee shoe has the status of a shoe, and that's why it can be used for chalitza. Remember, Rabbi Meir doesn't state that here. Rabbi Meir states that by Shabbos. So from the fact that the beginning, the reish of the Braisa, is reflective of the Rabbi Meir, seifa nami Rabbi Meir, we have to say at the end of the Braisa is also going like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, "Hi, Megan, v'var Magin, v'hai lo Magin." And according to Rabbi Meir, the reason you could use the amputee shoe is why? Because they both say the amputee shoe protects the foot. So because it protects the foot, therefore, what? It has the status of a shoe. On the other hand, hi, the anpilya, the sock, provides absolutely no protection for the foot, and therefore, what? Does not have the status of a shoe. Amra Meimar. So again, remember, all we were trying to do over there is to decide on the authorship of the Braisa. So there are two possibilities. It could be that the entire Braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanon. However, again, the problem with that, of course, is that if that's true, the Braisa does not flow as fluidly as it should. Therefore, it must be that it reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Therefore, again, that's why you could use the amputee's shoe for Chalitza, because according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds that the amputee could go out with that shoe on Shabbos. Therefore, you see it as the status of a shoe. And Rabbi Meir holds that an ampilia, a sock, is not fit for Chalitza, because a sock does not serve in the same capacity as a shoe, and that it does not protect the foot. Fine. Amar Meimar. So I'll say another halacha. Haiman de Chalitz, if somebody is doing Chalitza, tzarech limid chasye lekar'e. A person has to literally push their foot down against the ground. I will say, if you look at Rashi, he says, limid chasye litchof raglo bekarko. Now, as we're going to see, in order for Chalitza to work, the shoe must be removed by the woman. So if there's any chashash that the shoe just fell off, right, or the man took it off, then the chalitza is not good. So what I'm saying over here is that before chalitza takes place, so the man should kind of like stamp his foot, right, push his foot against the ground to make sure that what? That the shoe is securely on his foot. Amar Rav Ashi Amemar. So Rav Ashi said to Amemar, V'hatanya, but we learned, Bein Omeid, Bein Yoshe, Bein Mote. But yet the Braisa said that Bidi Eved, if he did chalitza and the man was sitting, the man was standing, or the man was leaning, that the chalitza is good. Now the only case in which you're really going to go in and push your foot against the ground is when, Bepashtos, when you're standing. So yet you see from here, the fact that you could do it sitting or leaning, that you don't have to push your foot against the ground, to which the Gemara says, Ema uli olam didachis lekare. No. Add in the following qualifying statement in the Braisa, that yes, you could technically do chalitza sitting, standing, or leaning, as long as you first push your foot against the ground before a chalitza takes place. Furthermore, Rabbi Meir said, "Hayman demaski al lechasa dikare lo chalitz." I will say, Rabbi Meir said over here, one that literally walks on the front part of his foot. Now look at Rashi, "Alech se dikare sherak lo hafuch v'dorech b'alyon." So I will say, this is talking about somebody who has like an inverted foot. Somebody has an inverted foot where they're putting most of the pressure again on the top of the foot, then lemaisa again, they can't do chalitza. They can't do chalitza. So Rashi says, Shragalo hafuch, v'doris b'alyono sharaga, lichsala shal levachim, pakana kolomer, she'inu doris mako medras. Raglo, a person doesn't walk on the heel. Va'af agav, so fine. So the Gemara says, lo chalitz, can't do chalitza. So amali ravashi da meimar, v'atanya, smuchos haraglayim, lo de chalitz bayu, but yet we learned in the Braisa that what? That you can do chalitza with what? With your foot supports. Remember, again, that's the case of that person, let's say he's paralyzed. And remember, he has those leather things, or those leather coverings that he inserts his legs, his feet into, so that they not drag on the ground. And yet we said you could do chalitza with that. Now, who's doing chalitza with that? Bepashtos, we assume it's the crippled person who's doing chalitza with that. So what do you see from here? That even if a person is not putting pressure on their foot, in this case, a person is not walking at all, you can still do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, no, lo diyoyev le la'acher. No, it's not the crippled person who's doing chalitza with these things. Rather, what? He's giving these leg coverings to someone else. Someone else is doing chalitza with them. So the Gemara says, diyoyev le la'acher v'cholitz. Amravashi, Lemaidika Amar Ma'amar, according to that which Amemar is saying, Lav Bar Uva Cholitz, Valav Bar Kifov Cholitz. Neither Bar Uva and neither Bar Kifov would be able to go ahead and do Chalitza. Rashi says over here, who are these person people? The Perek Elu Magalchim, we saw this in Moed Cotton, the Achlashu Ledaiti Dravashi, Viz Hapech Raglayu. They upset Ravashi very much, and remember, their feet were inverted. So apparently, according to Amemar, they would not be able to go out and do chalitza. So both say, we'll discuss. We're not finished with this. We'll discuss, like, what does that mean you can't do chalitza? So what does that mean? You're putter from chalitza? Or that means you have no obligation? So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss this in greater detail. So the Gemara says the following. You know, truth, we're going to come back to it. Fine. Okay. We're going to come back to that. Fine. Says the Gemara. Minar kuvu lumato. So remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was that if you use the shoe literally that fits minar kuvu ulamata from the leg down, then lemaisa such a shoe is good for chalitza. Or minhu. So the point over here the Gemara is making over here is, well, let's see. Or minhu. Raglayim, or I should say regalim, Prat lebali kabin. So we'll say when the Torah says that shalosh pamim, shalosh regalim tachogli bashana, that you have to come up to the Beis Hamikdash three regalim. So the Gemara learns out over here. Prat, this comes to exclude bali kabin. This comes to exclude amputees. Amputees, that somebody who's an amputee is not obligated in aliyah leregel. Now we'll say, now let's understand something. So the Torah when it speaks at chalisa says v'shalaf na'alomi al raglo. So the Gemara, what the Mishnah understands is that the definition of regel is anything that fits on the leg. Anything that fits on the leg. So anything that in the shoe that goes on the leg or below is considered to be a shoe. So according to the Gemara, so therefore according to the Mishnah, the definition of regel doesn't just mean foot, but rather definition of regel is already a leg. Leg is also the definition of regel. So the Gemara says, well, that's a problem because, for example, when it comes to the regalim, right, so what happens? So the definition of regalim, according to the Torah, means actual feet. So for example, if a person doesn't have feet, person is in it, they don't have feet. So according to the Torah, they are putter from aliyah leregel. So why is it that regel over here by regalim literally means feet, and yet over here regalim by chalitza by the Mishnah means a leg? Now, we'll say the nafkamina, of course, is that in the Mishnah it explains that even if somebody is an amputee, but they have a prosthetic, and that prosthetic for that shoe fits on top of the prosthetic, you could do chalitza with that shoe. So the Gemara says, ihachi. I'm sorry. Shiny hacha dechsev me'al raglo. The difference over here by chalitza is that it says from with on the foot or from on the foot. So since that lashon of me'al indicates this something that is even a little bit above the foot, i.e. the leg. Ihachi lemalam in arkuva nami. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, because you also remember the Mishnah made a distinction that a shoe that, let's say, fits on the bottom of the leg, let's say a person has an amputated foot, but they have a shoe that essentially fits on the stub of the leg, such a shoe is fit for a chalitza. But yet, if a person is amputated by the knee, and they have something that fits on their knee, then that is not fit for a chalitza. So the Gemara says, why that distinction? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Yachi demala min arkuva nami me'al v'lo me'al de'me'al. Because you can only go ahead and use something that is on the foot, on top of the foot, i.e. the leg, but not something that is on top of that which is on top of the foot, i.e. the knee. Amra Papa Shmamina. So Papa says, you see from here, Hai istavira ad ara nachis. You see from here that halachically we look at the ankle as if it extends all the way down to the ground. Because if you say that the ankle is considered to be something that is above the foot, ihu me'al, then the ankle would be considered to be the part that is above the foot. The shuka, and therefore the leg, me'al de me'al, would be considered the part above the above. We consider it to be two steps above the foot, which would then say that any shoe that went on top of the leg would ultimately puzzle for chalitza. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, no. Filu tema mifsak pasik, kol de behadi kariki karadam. You know, you can't bring a ride from the ankle. Of course, the ankle is considered to be part of the foot, why Rav Osa? Because lemaisa halachically, one can make the argument that anything that is on the kind of the same level as the foot has the status of the foot. So since the ankle is in the same general area as the foot, therefore lemaisa again is considered to be part of the foot itself. So we'll say what comes out over here is something very important. So the principle that the Mishnah is espousing is that in order to be considered to be a shoe for chalitza purposes, it has to be something that is what we call halachically on the foot. But halachically on the foot, for chalitza purposes, essentially means anything from the bottom of the leg and below, even if the foot itself is missing. So if a person has a shoe that fits on the bottom of the leg, meaning they're missing a foot, then such a shoe is good for a chalitza. But if a person, as we're going to see, has their leg amputated and something on the bottom of the knee, because that's already two steps removed from the foot, there's the foot and there's the leg above that, therefore that would not be good for chalitza purposes. And this is the next part. Min ha'arkuva l'malo. Now, what this tells us is, if let's say a person is amputated at the knee and they have a shoe that goes on top of the knee, that shoe is not good. That shoe is not good for chalitza purposes. Now, the point that makes is that tells us that the lashon of regel, me'al raglo, regel, does not include the thigh. That's the idea. Regel does not mean thigh. So the Gemara says, one second, Masir Rav Kana, but yet the pasuk by the Tochacha speaks about the afterbirth that comes out from between her legs. Now we'll say regal in this place obviously means thigh, because the mice again the afterbirth first exit from by her thighs. So you see over here that the Torah does use the lashon of regal. by the fact. Amar Abaye, this is interesting. B'shasha karas leilid, no eses akaveh biyakos sehavi oledes. When a woman gives birth, so very, I guess in Talmudic times, the way, I guess the birthing stool was set up, is that she would bend her legs back behind her, so sometimes her heels would touch her thighs when she was pushing to give birth. Therefore, again, it calls it mibein ragleha. Okay, tashma. Lo asa raglav, lo asa sfamo. So what it's talking about over here by Mipi Boshes, when he comes to go ahead and greet Shol. So it says he did not go ahead and, literally, it's referring over here to trimming the hair by his thighs. Velo asa sol, he did not trim his beard, his mustache. So you see over here, the thighs are called regel. Lishna ma'alya, the Navi's just using a nice lashon. Tashma. Vayavo Shaul haseich es raglav. Shaul went ahead. We'll say something about the episode of David HaMelech is hiding in the cave, and Shaul comes into that cave to relieve himself. It says lahaseich es raglav. So when a person is relieving themselves, that takes place by the area by the thighs, and yet it still calls it regel. Again, lishna ma'alya. Torah, the Navi's just using a nice euphemistic lashon. Tashma, ach meisich hu raglav becheder hamekira. So I was saying, this is talking about in the beginning of Shoftim, where Ehud comes and kills Eglon, the king of Moab, and then locks his chamber, and the servants wonder why Eglon is not coming out. And they said, oh, he must be using the facilities. And same notion, Mesichu es raglov, literally he's covering or moving his legs, which of course again also means thighs. So what do you see over here? Lishna ma'alya. So we'll say in all of these cases, the Gemara is trying to bring a raya that the thighs are also called regel, and in every single one of these situations, the Gemara answers, the Navi or the Torah is just using a nicer lashon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Bein Raglah, I'm sorry. Bein Raglah, so we'll say this is talking about over here, Sisra. So remember again, we read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Torah. So what happens? This is the time of Devorah. So Devorah is the Shofetas. She sends Ehud, the general we have to go march on, is Sisra. Sisra loses in battle. Sisra was one of the Canaanite generals. So he lost in battle. And remember, what ends up happening is he runs away. And there's a woman by the name of Ya'el Hakeni. And she goes ahead. She invites Sisra into her tent. And she kills Sisra while he slept. She killed Sisra while he slept. So the Navi says over here, Bein Ragleha. Bein Ragleha Kara Nafo Shachav. Literally between her feet. Now we'll say, as we're going to see what this means over here, is that Sisra had relations with Yael, as we're going to see. So obviously relations take place by the thighs. So you see over here that regel means thigh, to which the Gemara answers again, Lishna Ma'alya. The Navi is just using a nicer lashon. I mean, you can't bring a scriptural proof from these, because the Navi is going out of his way to use a nicer lashon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Sheva Bi'ilos Bal Osorasha Ba'osayom. Sisra had relations seven times that day with Ya'el. Shene Emar, Bein Ragleha Kara Nafal Shachav, Bein Ragleha Kara Nafal, Ba'asher Kara Nafal. Right? Shadud, excuse me. So we'll say, so the idea over here that the Gemara uses, the Gemara is picking up every single time a verb is used, it indicates that Lamaisa relations occurred. So the Gemara says, one second, V'ha'kam is Hanya Me'avera. But how, now we'll say, here's what's interesting about this. Now, obviously, the situation like this brings up a very interesting discussion, which is that how was Ya'el permitted to go? Ya'el was a married woman. How was she permitted to go ahead and have relations with Sisra? If at the end of the day, again, and remember, let's be clear, Sisra did not violate her, right? This is not, so as we'll see, actually, Ya'el initiated this. Now, why did Ya'el do this? So Ya'el wanted to go ahead and tire Sisra out, that he would go ahead and fall asleep, because she killed him while he was asleep, right? She drove a stake through his head while he was sleeping. And ultimately, again, this secured the victory for the Jewish people. So there's a lot of interest. The Tosfos here has a whole discussion about, there's a lot of parallels between what Ya'el did and what Esther did. So the Gemara answers over here, so the Gemara is not asking as much over here as how she was able to do this without giving up her life. That's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is asking a more fundamental question, which is that didn't she receive benefit from a Maisa Aveira? Right? At the end of the day, did she not also enjoy this act of relations as well? So she went ahead and she benefited from a Maisa Aveira. So we'll say, by the way, just the simple answer in terms of how she was able to have relations, Tosas points out, and again, the Gemara Sanhedrin by Esther also points this out, is there are certain things that, whereas they're normally prohibited, for the sake of Hatzalas Yisrael, for the sake ultimately of saving the Jewish people, become ultimately permitted. And because of what Yael did with Sisera was something that ultimately saved the Jewish people, therefore, Lamaisa, again, there's certain halachic license that applies. Obviously, a much more in-depth conversation, but a fascinating one. So the Gemara says the following. So she was nene from the Aveira, right? She benefited from the Aveira. So Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah B'Shem Ayochai, Kol Tovasan Shal Rishayim, we'll say it's a very profound Gemara, Kol Tovasan Shal Rishayim, Ra Amabez, Ra Hi Eitzel Tzadikim. We'll say any benefit that you get from the wicked is considered to be a detriment by the righteous. Rashi says, Ra'ahi shesonim harishan v'katza nafsha tzadik b'ana asan hilchach lav hanahi. We'll say, in other words, any benefit that comes to the righteous person through the wicked individual is not considered to be any kind of benefit. Shene emar, hishamar lecha, pen tedaber im Yaakov mitov v'adra. Because the Pasuk says this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he appears to Lavan, right before Lavan is about to catch up with Yaakov. So he says to him, Lavan, be careful. Don't speak with Yaakov mitov v'adra. Don't say anything to Yaakov. Don't say anything good. Don't say anything bad. Don't say anything to him at all. Bishlamara lechaye. So I understand why Lavan shouldn't say anything bad to Yaakov Avinu. I understand that. Elatova milo. But why shouldn't he say something good or do something good for Yaakov? So meaning what God essentially was telling Lavan was, stay away from Yaakov. Don't do anything. Don't do anything good. Don't do any favors for him. Don't do anything bad. So I understand why God is going to tell Lavan not to do anything bad, but why not do anything good? El shmamina tavasin sharishoim rai eitzal tzadikim. Because it teaches us that what Rabbi was saying, even the good things of the wicked are considered to be bad things. Even the good of the wicked is bad for tzadikim. So tzadikim would rather just simply have nothing to do with the Rasha at all, even if the Rasha wants to do something nice. So bishlama hasam. So the Rasha, therefore, for the answer to the Gemara's question, the Gemara says that for Yael, there's no hana'ah from this act, because even, again, the good of the wicked, is considered to be something negative by the righteous. Love and stay away from Yaakov. Don't do anything good, don't do anything bad, just stay away from him, because even if you try to do good, the good of the wicked is considered to be something negative by the righteous. So I understand by Lavan why we don't want him to have anything to do with Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because even if he tries to do something good, perhaps he'll go ahead and he'll bring up the issue about Avodah Zarah. Elo hachat, Narashi points out, it's actually Shema Davodos Kochavim, Lama Gan Naftas Elokai. Maybe he'll bring up the idea, why did you steal my gods? But the truth is simple, Pshat, what the Gemara is saying is that if he says something, he may invoke the name of his idolatry when speaking to Yaakov. Elo hachat, Mayra Ika. So we'll say, but again, in the case of where Yael has relations with Sisera, so what's the Ra? I'm saying she could, remember, she initiated that act, so she might benefit from that act. What's the Ra? So Ika, Ra Ika, Shadi Ba Zuama, because he injected in her his impurity. Now, what does that mean? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bisha'a Sheba Nachash Al Chava, Hitil ba zuama. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting as well. We saw this Kimar Masechah Shabbos. Remember again, in Shabbos we did a Maral. So the Maral has a whole metaphoric understanding of this. Remember the Gemara says that the Nachash literally had relations with Chava. Now we'll say the Maral understands that that's not literal. Remember we did actually a whole piece on this. We did it on a Sunday, where the Gemara discusses this idea that because it was the Nachash that enticed Chava to sin, ultimately, again, he injected within her a certain impurity. So what happened? Yisrael shamdu al Har Sinai paska zumasam. So we, Klal Yisrael, stood at Har Sinai. That impurity was removed when we received the Torah. Ovdei kochavim shalo amdu al Har Sinai, but the Gentile nations that did not stand at Mount Sinai, lo paska zumasam. So I'll say this is actually amazing, because remember, all of humanity was impacted by the impurity of the first sin. We, Klal Yisrael, stood at Har Sinai, so we ultimately, again, were able to have that impurity removed from us through accepting and receiving the Torah. The other nations of the world who were not at Har Sinai and did not accept the Torah, ultimately, again, still have that zuama, still have that spirit of impurity from the first sin. Therefore, the Gemara says the act of Ya'al's relations ultimately again with Sisra, literally and figuratively inserted within her that impurity from the first sin. That's why even if technically speaking there was some level of enjoyment from the act of relations, at the end of the day it was considered to be Ruz, because it was something negative by Ya'al because of the spiritual residue that it left upon her. So the Gemara goes weiter. Chaltza b'minal sheno shalo. So I'll say again, remember the Braisa said, the Mishnah said, actually this is the Braisa, excuse me, that if you went ahead and you did chalitza with a shoe that's not yours, Tan Rabbanan, na'alo, the Torah says that he has to do chalitza with his shoe, ainli ela na'alo. I only know that it has to be the Yavam shoe. Na'al shall call Adamin. I had an Rabbah say that the Yavam could go ahead and use someone else's shoe for chalitza as well, that chalitza need not be done with the Yavam's own shoe, but he could even use someone else's shoe. Talmud Lomar, Na'al mikol makom. Therefore, the pasuk says Na'al, because we also remember one pasuk says Na'alo, his shoe. The other pasuk says Na'al, shoe. So we learn from shoe that what? That you could use anyone's shoe, even if it doesn't belong to the Yavam, to which the Gemara says, Imkein, matam lomar Na'alo. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say Na'alo? Right, then why does the pasuk say ultimately again his shoe? Meaning, if it doesn't have to be his shoe, then why does it say his shoe? The Gemara says, haro'ilo. It refers to a shoe that is technically usable for him. Prat legodol shein yochol lahaloch bo. We'll say, so come to exclusa again. So if I'm the Yavam and I'm doing chalitza, so I don't have to do chalitza with my own shoe. It could be someone else's shoe, but what? It has to be a shoe that technically would be fit for my use. For example, if it's too big that I can't walk in it, I can't use that for chalitza. Or prat lekadosh in a chofer of raglo. Or if it's too small and it doesn't cover the majority of my foot, I can't use that either. Uprat lesandal hamisulaim. Or this would come to exclude a broken sandal. Shein lo akev, that does not have a heel. Abai, so we'll say, so therefore, again, this halacha lemaisa, it doesn't have to be my shoe, but what? It has to be a shoe that is fit for my usage, that I could technically use. Abai have kai kame Rav Yosef. So Abai was once standing before Rav Yosef. Asoy Yivam alachlots, and Yivam showed up to do chalitza. Amar le, so Rav Yosef said to Abaye, have le sandalech. Abaye, do me a favor, give your sandal to the Yavam. I guess the Yavam didn't have a shoe that was fit for chalitza. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Abaye, go ahead and give your sandal to the Yavam. Amar le, so what happened? Yoyev le sandal de smala. So Abaye gave the Yavam his left sandal. So Rav Yosef said, I understand, you're right. If technically, if you ended up doing chalitza with the left shoe, then technically it works. But what? Lechatchila, we want people to use the right one. So why would you lechatchila give the Yavam your left shoe? Give him your right shoe. To which Abayi responds, Amar lei, ihachi sandal she'in shalom nami. So Abayi counters back and he says, Rav Yosef, I don't understand. Well, if that's the case, it's true that the rabbi said that the Yavam could use a sandal, a shoe that is not his. But that was only what? That was only b'diavad. L'chatchila, he should use his own shoes. So Rabbi said, I figured that once you're already telling me to give him my shoe, which is already b'diavad, then what? I should be able to give him my left shoe. Amar lei. To which Rav Yosef says, you don't know, you don't understand. Hachi kamina lecha, yohiv lei va'akni lei. When I told you to give him your shoe, what I meant is what? Let him be kone, your shoe. Right? Let him acquire your shoe. Oh, if he's acquiring your shoe, then what? Then lemaisa again, it's going to be his shoe. So, and because it's going to be his shoe, then lechatchila, he's really using his own shoe. Sandal shel eitz. Remember, if it's a wooden sandal, man tana amar shmor Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, who is the tana who holds that you can use a wooden sandal? It's Rabbi Meir disnan hakitea yotze bekashrut Rabbi Meir. Because remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir said that an amputee could walk out with the wooden shoe that is on top of his prosthetic, because Rabbi Meir holds that even a wooden shoe is considered to be a valid shoe. Rabbi Yossi oser. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that it's oser. Avua de Shmuel amar. So we'll say, we would assume over here that therefore the opinion of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who holds that a wooden shoe is a valid shoe. To which the Gemara answers, no, there's another possibility. Avua de Shmuel amar. Avua de Shmuel says, b'mechupa ar v'divrei akol. What's the case over here? The case over here is where the wooden shoe is covered with leather, and everyone agrees, therefore, that it's good. Because if you have a wooden shoe covered with leather, that is considered to be a leather shoe, and therefore it is practical, it is usable for chalitza purposes. Sandal hamuskar lo tach litzbo. So we'll say if you have a sandal hamuskar. So what's sandal hamuskar? So we'll say this is a sandal that has saras on it. So what happens when it has saras? Look at Rashi. Sandal hamuskar shapar chabot saras. It has saras on it. Lo tach lutzpo bimei hasgero. Lo leisi lemei evid bemuchlat. So we'll say, so therefore this is a sandal which has saras. So you're putting it in seclusion for a week. To be, meaning you're setting it aside for a week to see what happens with its saras. So you should not use a sandal hamuskar. Right? Vim chaltza. But if you used it, chalitza sekshera, the chalitza works. Sandal hamuchlat, however, again, I will say if you have a sandal that has been definitively declared as having tzaras, then what? You may not use it for chalitza. Ve'im chaltza chalitza sapsula. And if you use it for chalitza, the chalitza is pasul. And I will say, now why is that? Look at Rashi. Muchlat chalitza sapsula. Because I will say, when a sandal has definitive tzaras, what do you do with that sandal? You have to destroy it. Va'anan shi'ura ba'inin chofes rov raglo. V'hai kisusei michtas shi'ur. So what's actually very interesting. So if you have a sandal that has saras, that sandal has to be destroyed. Anything halachically that is omeid to be destroyed, that has to be destroyed, is considered to be as if it has already been destroyed, and therefore it lacks the requisite shear. We've actually had multiple examples of this. Like, for example, we said, you know, if you had a lulav of a ira nidachas, or lulav and avan ashera, right? A prohibited lulav that was used for avodah zarah. Since it has to be destroyed, it's as if it lacks the requisite shear. So to avir, if you have a sandal that has saras, and therefore it has to be destroyed, so therefore, again, it lacks the requisite shear to be used for chalitza. Rapapa, mishmei de Rav Amar, Rapapa said in the name of Rava, echad sandal ha-muskar ve'echad sandal ha-muchlat lo tachlitz bo. So we'll say, so Rapapa said in the name of Rava, that whether it's a sandal that is in isolation to see if it's going to have saras or not, or it's a definitive sandal with saras, you should not use it for chalitza. However, v'imchaltza, but if you did use it, then what? Chalitzas ksheira. So I'll say, Rapapa's in the name of Rava, that you really should not use either of these sandals, but if you used it, b'di'eved, the chalitza is good. Nesis, where is the kasha? Bayis ha-muskar metami mitocho, u'muchlat mitocho, u'me'acharof, v'zeh metamin b'biyah. So let's listen to this. A house that is muskar, which is a house that has tzaras, and therefore is isolated. You can't go in there, right? If you walk inside of it, or you touch the inside of the wall, you become tamei. However, again, muchlat, if a home definitely has tzaras, then you become tummy if you touch the inner wall or the outer wall from the outside. V'zeh v'zeh metame biya. And both of these homes are metame if you walk inside. V'sakadaitcha kidemechtis tami. So now if you say that when something has saras because it has to be destroyed, it's as if it's already been destroyed and therefore it lacks the requisite shear. V'haba inon v'haba alabayis v'leka. So we'll say, therefore, again, if you walk into a house that definitely has saras, you shouldn't be tamei. Why not, Rabosai? Because in order for you to become tamei, it has to be a bayis. In order for it to be a bayis, it has to be a standing structure. But since it's only to be destroyed, halachically it should be viewed as if what? As if it's already destroyed, and therefore it's not a bayis. If it's not a bayis, it should become tamei. To which the Gemara says, no, shani hasam damakra, v'nasas es habayis. The Torah says, you shall demolish the house. Afilu bishas netitza. Karui bias. What do you see from here? That even at the moment that it's being demolished, it is still called a bias. So because it's still called a bias at the time of demolition, therefore again, it's a special gzeres hakosov. That even though normally we would have said that something that is omeid to be destroyed is considered as if it's destroyed, i.e. it lacks the requisite shear. But because over here the Torah says that even at the time of demolition, it's called a house, therefore it retains its identity of a house until the moment that it's actively destroyed. And that's why if you walk inside of it, you will become tummy. I will see you. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Rosh Hashanah Tashma. So remember again, what we've established over here is that Lamaisa, again, machlokis as to whether or not you could use a sandal hamuchlat. Everyone agrees that lechatchila, you should not use a sandal muskar and a sandal muchlat. What happens if you did use a sandal muchlat, which is a sandal that has been declared as definitively having saras? So Rav Papi says, name of Rava, that the chalitza is not good. and Rav Papa said in the name of Rava that b'di'eved the chalitza is good. Saying that the chalitza is not good, I understand why. Because lemaisa, again, once it has saras and it has to be destroyed, it's as if it's destroyed and therefore it lacks the requisite shear. Why would it be good b'di'eved if it has saras? That Amir Hashem will continue to see tomorrow.